Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
AFL Trade Exchange. Fareem. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a Rheem. And for Repco authorised service. For expert car service you can rely on. Book online at repcoservice.com.
Hello and welcome to the Trade Exchange. 7.5 hours remaining in this year's Continental Tyres AFL trade period. We'll bring you all the latest action over the next hour with myself, Riley Beveridge, and Cal Toomey. Cal, how are you going?
Good, Riley. Excited for the next 7.5 hours. We've gotten to this point and there's still seven and a bit deals potentially to
play out.
Seven and
a bit.
We'll wait and see if there's maybe a delisted player who might get another home. Who knows? But there's usually something on the last day. Having spoken to, I reckon, a significant amount of people this morning, a surprise would be a surprise at this point.
Yes, it doesn't sound like there's going to be anything that's going to jump up late at the moment. We are here for Rheem. Ask your plumber to install a Rheem, steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised service, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. You can get in touch with us throughout the day on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48. Kogan Mobile, just $4.90 for 30 days. Cal, I want to start the show, though, just going through those seven and a bit deals that you mentioned. Jordan Dawson, as reported last night, done, effectively. It's now 12:01 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, so I'd imagine in the next hour or so, Adelaide and Sydney would be heading to AFL House to file that paperwork, or
virtually
heading to AFL House via Zoom to file that paperwork. Future first rounder, courtesy of Melbourne, going to the Swans, Jordan Dawson heading to the Crows. Where does it sit with the ruck merry-go-round?
Well, the keys are in ignition. So that's a start. Movement has been made this morning on a deal that would send Darcy Fort to Brisbane from Geelong, John Segler from Hawthorn to Geelong, and a future third round pick likely to head to the Hawks via Brisbane. So the last piece remaining at this point, my understanding, is negotiations on John Segler's deal at the Cats. Of course, he's contracted at the Hawks for next year. So the new deal would obviously be enticing for him if it's a two-year option, and what the money is there and who pays what. So that, to me, is where things sit with the ruck merry-go-round. But I think there's clearly an expectation that after progress on Wednesday morning that a deal would be done. And there's also been some to and fro on what selection would be used to get something undertaken from all parties. And obviously the Lions have picks this year. They've got picks next year to play with. We've got a father-son in Will Ashcroft next year who looms as a potential number one pick for the draft next year. He's a star in the making, and it was a standout at under-17s level across this season for Vic Metro when he got out and played. So that's sort of been a points consideration, of course, but there's also the need for a ruckman next year, isn't there? And some support for Oscar McInerney, because the Lions are in the premiership window. They've built this list really strongly and got it all together. And given Hipwood's injury to at least mid-year with the knee and the reliance on McInerney, there's no doubt a need for them to grab one. So for the merry-go-round to happen, all parties need to be on board. And there's been some holding patterns across the past week or so from all parties. But I think that one will get done this afternoon.
So the future third round pick that lands at Hawthorn as a result of that, could that be involved in being sent to Collingwood potentially for Max Lynch? Is that the final piece of that jigsaw?
Yeah, I think so. And that's the other point as well. I mean, from a Collingwood perspective, they are so well stocked for picks this year. They've got 27, 36, 46, 48, 55, 58, 78. They've got points coming out of their ears. So in terms of the Nick Dacos bid, it's not a necessity for them to pick up another point or pick for this year. So, yeah, I think they'd be targeting picks in next year's draft, and that would probably be about right for them. I mean, it's fascinating, and that's, I think, where some of the ruck discussion for today sits in terms of Darcy Fort, John Segler, and Max Lynch. So I'm giving them a tick, tick, tick. Those three will happen.
Mm-hmm.
As we say, still some negotiations in play, but there's been some progress made on Wednesday morning. Peter Laddams, where does it sit from that perspective?
Yeah, I think something eventually gets worked out. The Swans can now focus all of their attentions on Laddams. I think they've been a bit occupied over the last 48 hours in negotiating a deal for Jordan Dawson. I think today's the day where they set themselves on Pete Laddams. It'll be interesting to see what's involved there. They've got a couple of picks in the 30s. They've got a couple of future first-round picks next year. They've got their pick 12, which I think they'll be hesitant to give up this year. They've got all of their future selections next year. I think at the end of the day, they don't want to turn Dawson into Laddams. I think that's something that's not really on their radar at the moment. They don't want to use that compensation and just go straight in for Peter Laddams.
Oh, no.
Jordan Dawson was a player that finished top three in their best and fairest this year. So I think they want to keep that and go with something else for him. So I'd expect something to get done. I think they're talking today. We reported on AFL.com.au last night that Ken Hinckley had made contact with Pete Laddams on Monday night. Just to reiterate that if it didn't get off the ground, he'd be welcome back. He's contracted for 2022 and they'd have plans for him next year. I'm led to believe that Pete Laddams reiterated that he did want a fresh start at the Swans, though. I'd expect that one to get through today, which leaves one more ruckman.
I think that one, well, just on that one, that's a deal that all parties want at this point.
Yes.
So when
yes.
that happens, that's generally a recipe for a trade, isn't it?
The,
and I still believe that, you know, pick 12 and a slide back to 16 involving Laddams and maybe something back the other way in terms of a second or third round pick is well on the radar. And that's something that we mentioned yesterday as a solution to potentially unlock that one.
Yeah. It's just that it doesn't have the... Whereas a deal for Jordan Dawson, for example, you mentioned like the haggling and when everyone wants to get the deal done. Whereas a deal for Jordan Dawson has 2 weeks of it. This is going to have next to 12 hours of it because there hasn't been that many talks.
Or 2 years.
Well, yeah, in a sense. But Port Adelaide were pretty firm last year that they weren't going to sell Pete Laddams for 2 years remaining on that contract. So they didn't get too far on those talks last year. So they've got 12 hours to negotiate this deal or 24 hours to negotiate this deal from last night after the Jordan Dawson deal happened. I'd expect it to go through. Tristan Jerry, the last ruckman, I don't think... Well, as things stand, it looks very unlikely to go through simply because there's too big a difference in the valuations between North Melbourne and St Kilda for Tristan Jerry. It's an interesting one. We've had a lot of questions pop up about it because of the fact that, yes, on paper, you wouldn't think that Tristan Jerry's worth a second-round pick or a future second-round pick, would you, Kel?
No, you wouldn't, but... That's the price they've set because he's contracted. And also, you look at it from their perspective, well, they essentially, the nuts and bolts off the Cal Conlon-Jones deal was a future second-round pick. Mm. There was a lot of things outside of that going on, but at the very core of it, it was a future second-round pick. So if they can find a way to snag a second-round pick out of Tristan Jerry and basically turn Tristan Jerry into Cal Conlon-Jones... with, you know, picks and things going on alongside that, but that would be the bones of it, then that's a good deal for them. But St Kilda aren't going to do that.
Mm.
St Kilda just aren't, well, and that's their prerogative too.
I think the reason why there's been a roadblock on this deal, St Kilda has picks 9, and then the next picks in this year's draft is 62, 66, 67. So say they offer pick 62, which is their next pick, because they're not going to offer 9. Say they offer pick 62. If you look and just do the maths of how many list spots North Melbourne has available, they'd be unlikely to use more than 4 picks in this year's draft. They've already got 4 picks within 62. They've got 4 picks within 47. So they're probably just not going to use whatever picks St Kilda's offering forward as things stand, are they? I mean, that's just like it's almost like as if you're delisting him and letting him walk for nothing in that sense, because they're just going to pass on the pick they get back from St Kilda.
And this is the point of the merry-go-round, isn't it? Because if they do let him go for something that's unders, then they're in the position where they probably have to go and find someone as well, or they recontract Tom Campbell, or
yep.
that is the decision for them as well, isn't it? Because it's not just about what you're getting out, but how do you replace what you're losing? So, yeah, I think that one's stamped with the unlikely badge at the minute. But it's what I think is fascinating. Peter Laddams, 17 games this year. Tristan Jerry, 8. Darcy Fort, none. John Segler, 12. Max Lynch. I've got to check that, actually.
AFL tables out early on Continental Ties AFL Trade Radio.
Played two.
Two. So one of them was very good.
So we're talking about 5 ruckmen on deadline day who have combined for 39 games. So it sort of shows what the market does to ruckmen at this time of the year and how if you don't grab on now, you're forever chasing your tail the next year down the track. So I can understand the attempt to wrangle Tristan Jerry out, but I can also say from North's perspective that they don't want to be left looking around themselves.
Jordan Clark, another one. Talk us through where that sits. And also, because I know you're going to get them to pick 19 and why it's more valuable, explain to our listeners, because we had a few comments this morning saying, why is pick 19 so valuable? Yes, it'll be the first pick of the second round of the draft, but regardless of how far that shifts out, I've had a couple of people tweet at me this morning saying, but pick 19 will be pick 21, so it's less valuable. But no, it's still the second pick of the first pick of the second night, isn't it?
Yeah, so this one stands as the one to watch tonight. I think this is the one where there will be one of the clubs who has to give a little bit more or take a little bit less. And that's Geelong at this point are asking for either pick 19 or pick 22 and Carlton's future third round pick, which obviously is in the hands of Fremantle. The Dockers, meanwhile, want to just give pick 22, which is not as valuable clearly as pick 19 for the reasons that you just spoke about. And the way the draft is structured this time around, and we're back to a two-night draft again this year, all plans considered, and that's the hope for this year. Things looking ahead, the first round of the draft will be held on the Wednesday night, and then the second and the remaining rounds of the draft will be held on the Thursday night. But having the first pick off the second night means that the clubs who are around that part of the draft can actually spend that 12, 16, 18 hours mulling over the players that they really, really like who are still left on the board and thinking, well, someone slipped here. If it's a Devon Robinson type, we saw the Brisbane Lions offer up basically a second round pick to move up a spot just to grab him a couple of years ago in 2019. So they're in a spot where, yeah, it's a valuable position to hold, that second round pick, that first pick of the second round. So that's where 19 is a target for Geelong, and that's why the Dockers will want to keep it. But yeah, this one, given the contract status, we've seen Steve Hocking say they're going to have to cough up. Clark's still in Western Australia. So it's been, again, we speak about the Peter Latimer's one being 2 years in the making. Well, this has a little bit of that as well, because there was clearly some conversations and discussions last year around Jordan Clark and what it would take. And even there's a sort of mega five club deal put together at one point to to potentially get him there, and including Brown and all the rest, Ben Brown at that point. So, yeah, it's there's a little bit to play out on that one, and it's going to just take one of the clubs to either take less or give more. Just an interesting one because, yeah, he's a good player and he's contracted, and I don't know if it's the other option is going back to Geelong where there's been a shake up of the coaching panel. Maybe that makes it more palatable. I'm not too sure if it would or not, but yeah, it's that one's still definitely in play.
And finally, Bobby Hill.
Well, not too much has moved on that one overnight and this morning. There's been obviously the Bombers who've upped their offer to a future second round pick, but also some discussions around something coming back and what that would take and what it would look like. Collingwood is waiting and watching pretty closely. They've obviously got pick 27. They've got future selections. They've got a lot of picks that they could do things with and are watching to see how that one pans out. But yeah, as of this morning, there's been no real fruitful conversations to suggest that that's going anywhere anytime soon. So obviously it's going to take the Giants to allow him to go, and the deal will have to be satisfactory from their point of view. But look, I think with Essendon there and wanting to grab him and having put forward a good pick, that could be the point where they, yeah, have that discussion a bit more open.
Yeah, completely agree. Cal, we are here for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream Steady Hot and Strong. And for Repco, authorised service for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. We'll get to plenty of your calls after the break. 1300 2355 on the Kogan Mobile open line. We'll speak to you then.
Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. Trade News, AFL Exchange. For Ream, ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong. And for Repco Authorised Service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. A Trade News update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
Yeah, look, just with Darcy, obviously we're pretty keen to get him into the organisation to offer some support for Oscar McInerney. So, you know, I think between us and Geelong, the value's been established as to how we want the deal to be done, but because there's a few clubs involved, obviously with Hawthorn and whatnot, that it's just a matter of how all it gets split up. And, you know, Dom and Bradshaw, our list manager, talking to Stephen Wells Geelong, they're talking through different scenarios and that, so I'm sure it'll play out well in the next 24 hours for us, and we'll get Darcy across to Brisbane.
And what you're referring to there, I'm assuming, is Jonathan Segler making his way from Hawthorn to Geelong, and maybe you don't want to buy into this part of it, but Hawthorn needing to stump up some of that wage, and then Max Lynch finding his way to Hawthorn from Collingwood. That's all caught up in the same transactioning?
Yeah, it appears that way. So obviously, we only deal with Geelong insofar as the Darcy Fort transaction, and you know, Geelong have got a few deals at the minute, obviously, with Freo, and probably trying to get Segler across. So, you know, we'll let them deal with that side of things. But, you know, between us and Geelong, we certainly know what the value is that we need to do to get the transaction done. So hopefully that gets done pretty quickly.
That was Brisbane footy boss Danny Daly on Darcy Fort's potential move to the Lions, as Cal Toomey reported on AFL.com.au this morning. The wheels are in motion. Do the wheels go in motion on a merry-go-round? What is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
For this one, yes.
The wheels are in motion. Things are happening. The future third-round pick, which was the sticking point, could be on its way to the Cats.
No, it'd go to the Hawks. So
I said that. Cats to the Hawks. Segler and then potentially Lynch at the end of it.
Yeah, the last piece remaining is negotiations on John Segler's deal at the Cats. So that'll happen. So I think that'll happen next little bit. There's just some to and fro on that. And obviously, if he's going to leave his club or he's got a contract for next year, that's where it'd have to play out. But yeah, Darcy Ford to Brisbane, Segler to Geelong, a future third likely to head to the Hawks and then to be involved in a deal with Max Lynch where he goes and becomes the number one ruckman there.
Do you expect them to be separate? The three that you've mentioned there, is that going to be separate to the Lynch one, or could that, is there a chance they're all tied up in the one deal?
Oh, well, they're, whether it's in one deal or not is by the by. It's linked.
We love a four-club trade, though.
Nah, this one, I think this one's actually probably got too many strands involved. It's become a little bit too epic for, yeah. I think it probably didn't need to be as complex as it sort of turned out, but that's the way it goes. There's been a lot of dipping the feet in from different quarters. So yeah, a lot of players and suggestions and money and managers involved. So I think that one will go through, as we've said.
Okay, we'll get to the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48. Kogan Mobile, just $4.90 for 30 days. We'll head out to Daniel in Pasco Vale, who wants to talk about Bobby Hill. G'day, Daniel.
Afternoon, boys. How are we?
Good, thank you.
That's the way. Hopefully the Bobby Hill deal gets done for us. Pretty exciting player. So if he can come through our doors, I'll be more than happy at Essendon. But just a couple for you, Cal. Do you think, obviously you just said before, potentially later draft picks coming back on the other end from GWS. Do you think that would have anything to do with our father's sons? We do have a lot this year, and I feel like we might need a couple of picks like everyone else to maybe get them a bit later. Do you feel that might be the case? And just the last one, who would we target at pick 11 if there's no deal for Bobby Hill? Could it be like Josh Rochelle? Thanks, boys.
No worries. Thanks for the call, Daniel. Look, there's a bit out of that one. For the father-sons, I'd be off the expectation at this point that none of the father-sons get a spot on Essendon's list next year. I think the struggles to play footy this year would have made it really hard for those guys to press their claims, and there is some great bloodlines there, but I think there'd be the more likelihood of those guys going around at different levels next year and trying their luck again with full seasons, fingers crossed for that. So I think that'd be unlikely, and I don't think that's part of the discussions around where it sits for this year's picks and also next year's as well. I mean, the Davey twins, we know Alwyn Davey's sons, they're coming through next year's pool. At this stage, we talked about Will Ashcroft before. There's not the same discussions around the Davey boys in terms of loading up on points and protecting your picks to be ensured that you've got enough up your sleeve to be able to match bids or a bid. So don't think that's as much a consideration for the Bombers in this situation. The Bombers have been trying desperately hard to get back into the second round of this year's draft, because at the moment their picks are 11, 51, 56, 87. So they've been trying to work their way up the board through a future selection anyway. And maybe that was, in some ways, of the last little bit, just enough of a selection to then appease a Giants trade with Bobby Hill, the target in mind. But that's all said and done. We wait and see how that one plays out. As for pick 11, the Bombers are in an interesting spot. I don't see Josh Ascheli being available at that point. I think he's gone inside the 10. And who they actually pick up is a fascinating one, because they have a few holes to fill, clearly. Is it Nazai Wanganeen-Malira, who would be a nice selection for them to add on the wing opposite to Nick Cox as the draftee from last year? Is Josh Sinn worth considering at that point? Is Neil Erasmus still on the board? Personally, I think Neil Erasmus would be a great fit for what Essendon have and don't have. He's a taller midfielder. I think he'd be a protector to some of the smaller body guys in there, even though they're a bit older than him, obviously, but he's got a lot to like about him. And then there's Jai Amos, who, a key forward, if he got through a couple of Fremantle picks and also West Coast, well, as a key forward, I think you'd have to be pretty hard-pressed to pass him up from a Bombers perspective. So there's some good players around that point, but I'm not sure Josh Ascheli would be on the board there.
All right, we'll head out to the Limestone Coast, where we're joined by Mark, who wants to talk about the Tristan Jerry deal. G'day, Mark.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you.
That's good. As wooden spooners, I just can't believe how ridiculous North Melbourne are being over this, wanting to have a second round pick. That's for 2000 and end of 2022. What's that actually going to do for them now? Is it going to get them memberships? I mean, it's not going to do anything. I'd like to reiterate what I said yesterday. I noticed that they've got one player, one forward, under 186 centimetres. They don't have any small forwards at all, right? I think they've got one. I think he's about a 19-year-old guy. Jack Mahoney. And that's it. Everyone else is over 186 centimetres. At the moment, the St Kilda are overstocked with small forwards, absolutely overstocked. And there's two guys that just aren't really getting a game. That's Jack Loney and Kent. So why wouldn't North, just instead of going picks, why not just do a swap, you know, and get themselves in a small forward so at least they've got one, and Saints get the ruck that they want. And if they don't want to do it, well, if I was St Kilda, I'd just say, well, stuff you. We're just going to re-sign Paul Hunter for a year and get him to do some extra work with Brendan Lade.
You've got to have the player that North Melbourne wants. Like, if North Melbourne doesn't want Jack Loney, what good does that do them? I think you have to have a deal that suits both parties. So if Jack Loney, if he's not going to get a game at North Melbourne, why would they do a deal for him? I can kind of understand where North's coming from, in the sense that if it's for a pick, it has to be something they're going to use. And at the moment, if it's pick 62 is what is being offered by St Kilda, then that is of no use to them either, because they're not going to use that pick. They've only got four list spots that they can fill at the draft, three or four list spots they can fill at the draft, and they've already got four picks before 47, so they'd pass on pick 62. He's a contracted player, so the onus is on St Kilda to get a deal done. And as we reported on afl.com.au last night, there was no progress in talks on Tuesday. As of yet, the last thing that was offered was North Melbourne requesting that future second-round selection. So they've got the whip hand here simply because of the fact that he's contracted. I don't know what your thoughts are, Cal, but if Jack Loney's not going to get a game at North Melbourne and they've got no interest in him, it's no point just doing the deal simply because he's a player that fits a need.
No, that's right. You're absolutely correct there, Riley.
Matt in Keilor wants to talk about John Segler. G'day, Matt.
G'day, guys. I'm just still baffled that the Dogs haven't made a play for Segler, considering Steph Martin's in the twilight of his career. His body's struggling, and he hasn't been offered a contract yet. But why wouldn't the Dogs go after a 30-year-old Segler who can fill the gap in our list?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think they're pretty confident on Jordan Sweet, that they've offered him a multi-year deal. He's going to stick around. He had a bit of interest from the Eagles. I think if Sweet had have taken up the offer of a move to West Coast, then the Western Bulldogs might have turned their attentions towards someone else. It looks like Steph Martin's going to go around again in 2022. They've got Tim English, who can play through the ruck. Obviously, Sweet didn't make their final side for the first couple of weeks. They preferred Lewis Young, who's obviously headed to Carlton. But I think their confidence suite can make a step up next year and in the years to come. And then maybe in 2022, it's something that hits their radar. Maybe they've got something in mind going forward for next year that that obviously is probably going to be Steph Martin's next last year in 2022. Maybe then they start turning their attentions towards a full-time ruckman and maybe even an experienced ruckman. But again, it's like the last call with Jack Loney. If you don't have any interest in John Segler, you don't have any interest in John Segler. It's, you're not just filling blokes for no reason.
No, that's right. And they did make a grand final.
Yes.
And they were three goals up halfway through the third quarter. So this is a list that's pretty good. And they'll be banking on, and I know we've said this a couple of off seasons in a row, but they'll be banking on more improvement again from Tim English. Yeah, there's probably the question mark at the moment against certain styles of ruckman. They probably didn't get enough or as many games out of Steph Martin as they would have hoped with the hip and groin troubles that he had for the best part of the second half of the season before he made that big recovery for the prelim and obviously the grand final. But yeah, Jordan Sweet's shown a bit. So yeah, they obviously back in that talent and for a couple of years give him that opportunity. And I understand the call though.
Yeah, you do, because obviously it's a need, but I don't think Luke Beveridge, given the way he's handled it the last 48 months, has really put a premium on ruckman.
No, he hasn't. I mean, Josh Dunkley was rucking at stages in 2020, wasn't he? And yeah, you're right. Would they want four on the list? Probably not at that point. So, and they've got their key forwards covered. They've also got Sam Darcy coming through as a 204 centimetre forward who can ruck as well. So maybe there's a level of, well, in 2 years' time, he might be your second ruckman anyway.
All right, we'll take more of your calls after this quick break on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When everything counts, counts on Continental.
Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental. Continental-tires.com.au. AFL Trade Exchange. Fareem. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a ream. And for Repco authorised service. For expert car service you can rely on, book online at repcoservice.com.
We are here on the AFL Trade Exchange. Fareem. Ask your plumber to install a ream. Steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. There is just under 7 hours to go, Cal, in this year's Continental Tires AFL trade period. Seven and a bit deals to get done, as you've mentioned a few times now. Jordan Dawson, still waiting on the paperwork to lob there, but shouldn't be too far away, we wouldn't imagine.
No, and that came through late on Tuesday night. Obviously, the Swans agreeing to that deal that had been sitting there for a little bit of confusion as well around, I think, the deal that they knocked back last week with this pick 17. It wasn't just pick 17.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to also slide from pick 39 to 44. And the Swans also got Adelaide's future third, but had to give up a future third around that part of the draft too. And a future four ended up going back to St Kilda. So it wasn't just as simple as just pick 17.
Yeah.
And when you look at it on balance, the odds are that Melbourne won't win the premiership next year. The betting odds suggest that they will, but the odds are more teams...
Still very difficult to win back-to-back premierships, isn't it?
Clearly, more teams don't go back-to-back than do.
Mm.
So then you climb or slip down the board a couple of spots. 17 this year becomes 19.
Yeah.
After the two spots, I think they're within their rights to have a look at where things sat, given that offer was on the Tuesday, the second day of the trade period.
It was also an offer with limited time to accept, given the Western Bulldogs weren't necessarily hanging around to see what else played out, were they?
Correct. That's right.
And the way it shakes out, you might as well chance your arm if you're the Swans and say, worst case scenario, Melbourne does win the premiership next year, and instead of getting pick 17 this year, they get pick 18 next year.
Correct.
So why not? As you mentioned, very hard to go back to back. We'll get some more of your calls on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48. Kogan Mobile, just $4.90 for 30 days. Nicholas in Winthorpe wants to talk about the Dockers. Got a couple of top 10 picks this year. G'day, Nicholas.
Hey, g'day, fellas. Hope you're well. Yeah, I'm not sure if you've brushed through this already and there's still a bit of water to go under the bridge, but for those two top 10 picks, do you think we'll aim for local or do you think we've got another player in mind?
Well, there's great options inside that top 10. So I think they're in a really good position to pick up two good players. And they didn't go local when they took Caleb Sarong and Hayden Young. That's turning out to be pretty good. Andrew Brayshaw, I know Adam Chera's come home, but Andrew Brayshaw is sticking around and isn't a local. So local's a factor. There's no doubt about that. But there's also the factor of talent and who you rate better on the board. And this year there is a couple of local options for them potentially. And obviously we know a lot about Neil Erasmus, who I just spoke about, the midfielder. There's also Jai Amos, who's the key forward, who I think would be right around that discussion.
Fits a need for them as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And kicked so many goals this year. 50 plus goals at Colts level is an amazing effort for a player who was driving down from Busselton, hasn't been a part of the system that much until this season. Then there's Matt Johnson as well, who's pushed himself into the top 10 to 12 conversation for some clubs as a taller 192 centimetre midfielder who played some great footy in the second half of the season and can glide through games at points, but also can really be a dominant player around the clearances. So there's three West Australian prospects there who will be in that group, but the non-West Australians are pretty good too. And if Josh Gibkiss got to that point, if Josh Ward got to that point, if Ben Hobbs got to that point, all of those guys would have to be well and truly in consideration. Mac Andrews, another tall athletic option who can play in the ruck or key forward potentially as a bit of a bit part player in both positions there. Josh Ascelli, who we spoke about before, small forward who should be right around that conversation too. So, yeah, the local factor is a part of it, but it's not the only part. And I'm pretty confident that the two picks they'll use will be some pretty good players and players who have got some runs on the board this year.
David Springvale wants to talk about the Pies. G'day, David.
Hey, how are you guys? I've just been thinking that if Essendon don't get Bobby Hill and Collingwood do, where does he fit in? And next year we've still got to sign Degoey, Moore, Maynard. We've got Kruger in on a 3-year deal. We've got Lipinski in on a 3-year deal. We've got Dacos coming in on a 4-year deal. Are we going to be in salary cap issues again?
No, I think from a salary cap position, obviously they'd be well aware that the free agents are out next year in Jordan Degoey, Darcy Moore and Braden Maynard. And I'd expect that we'll get some clarity over summer as well as the Pies look to lock down some deals. And it's clearly been a huge reset at Collingwood over the past 12 months or so from the top down at every level. Board, president, coach, footy manager, so list manager. So it has been a whole lot of change there. And I think that they're in a position where they've built the blocks now throughout this trade period to set themselves back up. So
yep.
I don't think I can understand why the nightmares of 2020 would be rattling through the brains of Collingwood supporters, because yep. This time last year, it would have been a tough time to see three of your players jettisoned out of your club.
And good players,
contracted players, and them go and play some pretty good footy at their own clubs across 2021. So I get it, but I don't think it'd be salary cap as much as, you know, player decisions. Could another club woo one of these players on the basis of success being closer?
Yeah.
That's probably more to the point, isn't it, I think.
And a couple of clubs have had nibbles at Darcy Moore before,
yeah,
unsuccessfully so far, but...
And St Kilda had a big crack, and North Melbourne obviously had a big crack at Jordan Degoey
yep.
a couple of years ago as well. So there's no doubt these guys are going to be huge talking points throughout next year. In terms of the Dacos deal, I mean, it's a 4-year deal, but it's really a 2-year extension
yeah.
on top of the standardised draft contract. So that's not going to be the bank breaker.
Mm. Ethan in Perth wants to talk about pick 19. G'day, Ethan.
How you going, fellas?
Very good, thank you.
I'm just wondering, so with 19, how you talked about this morning, Riley, that it's the first or the second round.
Yep.
So with the two father-sons, would that mean that 20 boys are picked up on the first night?
Yes. Yes, it would. So the first okay, the so first round just continues to extend. So pick 21. So if 19 becomes 21 on the second day of the trade period, it's still the first pick of the second night.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So last year, for instance, the first round went 26 selections
yes,
because of the bids. and a priority selection that was thrown in there as well, and these type of things. So, yeah, it stretches out as far as it needs. So the other part in that as well is that as much as the first round stretches out, the 20 point of the draft stays where it's 20. So where the bid needs to come in, or where the protected zone of the draft is not the club that starts with pick 20 and where that actually shifts back after the bids. It's what the pick is at pick 20 and which club's holding that pick once the fluid draft order is at that point. It can be confusing, I understand.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And just another quick one. Do you reckon you guys are looking for a third amigo to help out with Mitch not being there?
Who?
Or are we just rolling with the two of you?
I've never heard that name.
Who's
before.
That?
Mitch, did you say?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Ah, oh, very good. Maybe Ethan can join us in 2022. Grant in Oakley wants to talk about the Tristan Jarry trade. G'day, Grant.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So I was wondering, if Saints did give up their second round pick, could they get pick 47 back, given that they need points for academy kids? And given that you've got the two Saints academy kids in the top 30, how many points do you think they're going to need to actually bid on them to be able to get them?
First part of that, it's a future second, so it wouldn't be a second round of this year, which St Kilda doesn't have. So there would be a couple of different ways. And the way it was put to me was that it wasn't necessarily North Melbourne just simply requesting a future second round pick on its own. There are a couple of picks exchanging hands later in the draft as well. I don't think 47, though, or a pick as early as that was ever on the radar for North Melbourne. I think given that there'd be a future pick they're getting for Tristan Jarry, they'd be unwilling to part with one of those first four picks they have on the night. As for draft points, Cal, where do you see bids for Machito Owens and Marcus Windhager coming?
Yeah, there's interest in both of those players, and they're different type of players. Machito Owens has had a really good season for the San Diego Dragons, was a great player for Vic Metro in that game at Windy Hill about mid-year. There's interest inside the 20. I still think the chances are that it won't be inside the 20.
The difference between having interest and actually pulling the trigger and taking the player, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And things have to fall your way. Mm. You can have sometimes six or seven names lined up at a certain pick in the 13, 14, 15, 16 range, but often the guy who you have at two, three or four on your list is still there and not the guy at six or seven. So there's interest there, but I think the likelihood is that the bids come somewhere from 20 onwards, and at that point they'll have enough points to match them. I like both of those players though.
All right, we're here for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream Steady Hot and Strong, and for Repco authorised service for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. Trade News AFL Exchange for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream Steady, Hot and Strong, and for Repco authorised service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
We're here on AFL Exchange, not much longer to go on Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Before we do head off, though, we've got a very special guest joining us, a man with a busy afternoon ahead of him, Andrew McDougall from Corporate Sports Australia, manager of Bobby Hill, joins us on the line. G'day, Andrew.
Hi, gents. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. Where does it sit with the Bobby Hill deal as it stands?
Thanks for having me on. I spoke with Jason McCarthy this morning, last conversation. Neither club is involved really at this point, but hopefully they start the discussions and you sort of tracked some of the progress with Bobby looking to go to Essendon and then obviously Essendon tabling a deal which involved a future second as part of a deal with Adrian. So we're just looking into it at the moment and hopefully that some discussions start ramping up.
Are you hoping for that this afternoon? Do you expect at this point that something will get done and the Giants will budge on that, Dukes?
Yeah, I think Bobby's very keen to get to Essendon. Young man having his first child, you know, there's a lot going on. Obviously, a young player comes out and says where he wants to nominate, speaks to the club and tells them why. And it does hold a bit of weight. And Bobby's quite stressed and nervous at this point, as you can imagine. And going through a few trades with Cole over the years, this seems like it's going to be a very delicate one for Bobby, and he's really keen to get there. So hoping that clubs can start discussing they've had the initial conversations, but obviously we've got not too long left, but there's a little bit of time left, so hopefully things start moving in that direction further.
Yesterday, Jason McCartney said to AFL.com.au that it was highly unlikely that a trade would be done and he'd be welcome back to GWS if it went that way. How would Bobby feel if it didn't go down and he had to go back to the Giants? Is that something that he's had to consider as well?
I think that's the club point of view, they do say that, but I think when you're dealing with the family, I spoke to the mum this morning, Kate, she's been really great over this stressful period, and Bobby's been great as well, coming in a bit later to have further discussions with us. But it is a very intense time, so it's definitely hard to go back, very, very hard for a young man to go back. So wait and see how it plays out, Cal.
Would you say it's Essendon or no one at this stage if he does go to Victoria? Obviously, Collingwood's shown some interest in him. Is it Essendon or no one, or is he... Yeah, the Giants open to dealing him anywhere in Victoria.
No, they haven't discussed that at this stage. It's neither club's involved, probably in terms of locking it right in. But I think those discussions with Essendon have happened. That's been his club of choice. He's come out and said that, publicly, and we've said that Essendon was where he wanted to get through. His cousin plays for the AFLW side, and he's got Brad Hill there in Melbourne that he'd like to live with. He's also going through a similar thing with a child on the way. So having some family support around him is a big one.
What do the Giants want in terms of a deal? What's your sort of take on after speaking to Jason McCartney this morning? Or is it just a no-go at all from their perspective at this point?
It's probably more, the highly unlikely situation. But in saying that, you've got to be delicate with a young man who's having his first child and working around those parameters. So hopefully things will open up a little bit as the day goes on, Cal.
How far ago did this one progress, Andrew? Because there's been a few reports, obviously, there was the talk that to the Giants website that he wanted to stay and be recontracted. That was about a month ago. And then all of a sudden last Friday it came to light that he'd requested a trade to Victoria. Can you talk us through the timeline of how it got to this stage?
Not exactly in terms of the timeline, but Bobby has been thinking about it for quite a while. Seeing what Brad's done in Melbourne and being there with family and having that support and then having the birth of his first child on the way, that sort of all sort of led to Bobby's decision. It did come a few weeks ago with really thinking about where he wanted to go. And Bobby obviously came in a few times, had a meeting with Cole and I. So there's been a lot of ongoing discussion. And at the moment, that's exactly where he's putting his mindset and very focused on it. So it's a bit of a nervy time for him and the family. And obviously last day of trade is always going to be a bit intense, boys, but hopefully things can progress soon, mate.
How is he going? He's in Western Australia at the minute. How's he tracking?
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit. It is tough, obviously, going through this period. We've done a few of these before with some of the boys, and this does seem like a big one, and it's going to be hard for him to, go back if things don't go the right way, but hopefully the dialogue can start getting on track and go from there, mate.
Andrew, thanks for your time on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Good luck to both yourself and Bobby in the last 6.5 hours of this window.
All right, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Andrew McDougall there from Corporate Sports Australia, manager of Bobby Hill, trying to get a trade to Essendon in this window. Thanks for joining us over the last fortnight on the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When everything counts, count on Continental. Enjoy the last 6.5 hours of this hectic trade period.